They call them essential fatty acids because they are essential. Our bodies cannot manufacture essential fatty acids from raw materials, and so we must gather the fats from the environment and eat them to survive. And so today we pause to ask, where can we find our essential fatty acids?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned in to the 567th edition of the Food Chain Radio program. You know, they call them essential fatty acids, folks, because they are essential. Fats provide a concentrated source of energy, and they are the building blocks for cell membranes and a variety of hormones and hormone-like substances. Fats act as carriers for vitamins A, D, E, and K, and are required for mineral absorption and a host of other processes of the body. And hey, fats are what make food taste good, too. But our bodies cannot manufacture essential fatty acids by combining raw elements from the environment. No such luck. We must hunt them down in the environment and eat them to survive. And so today we go hunting for essential fatty acids, and here to guide the way we have Sally Fallon, who is the president of the Weston A. Price Foundation and co-author of Nourishing Traditions. Sally, welcome back to the Food Chain.
Well, thank you, Michael. It's nice to be here and talking about my favorite subject again.
Yes, it is. How on earth did it become your favorite subject, Sally?
Well, it was...
How on earth did anybody become obsessed with fat?
Well, it was my concern, which I shared with my co-author, Dr. Mary Enig, about...
Oh, wait a minute. We have to say hi to our producers this morning and all of our crew. All right, say hi, Dave. Michael's on the boards.
Good morning.
Okay. Carol Stafford.
Hello.
Parmley Taft.
Hello.
There we go. Got my crew introduced. Sorry, gang. Go ahead, Sally.
Only in Santa Cruz, right?
Only in Santa Cruz, yeah.
Anyway, my co-author and I were becoming extremely concerned about the misinformation that our government and various medical organizations were putting out about fats and oils.
And that would be Dr. Mary Enig, right?
Yeah. Well, she pronounces it Enig.
Enig. Okay, good.
And I think one of the first places it starts is what you've just said about the essential fatty acids, that we have to hunt them down, that they're really hard to find. And that is actually not correct. They are in all our foods, and we only need them in very small amounts. In fact, they're harmful if we get them in large amounts.
Ah.
These are the polyunsaturated omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids. Now, granted, the omega-3s are a little bit harder to find, but they're not that hard to find. And the reason they're called essential is because the body doesn't make them. The body doesn't make them because it only needs them in small amounts, and they're plentiful in the foods. I really don't like this word essential fatty acid because it implies that the other types of fats, especially the saturated fats, are not essential, not important. In fact, the saturated fats are so important, and we need them in such large amounts that the body can't depend on getting them from food, enough of them from food, so the body makes them. And the body makes them out of carbohydrates. So people on low-fat diets tend to overindulge in carbohydrates because the body is saying, boy, I need you.
Because they're hungry for them, right?
Yeah, I need you to make these saturated fats that are so important to have in the cells.
Let's go back to the your organizations here, because I think that will really help people understand your fascination and your dedication to educating us about fats. Let's start with the Weston A. Price Foundation. Who was Weston A. Price?
Who was Weston Price? He was actually a dentist. He practiced in the 30s and 40s, and he wrote what we consider the pioneering work on human nutrition. It's a book called Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. And he looked at the diets of 14 isolated cultures that were very healthy based on what he found in their teeth. These people had virtually no cavities, and all of them had nice, broad dental palates. They had no crooked teeth. And this, for Dr. Price, was a sign that the body had been well-formed and that this was good. They had good nutrition.
They were doing something right.
They were doing something right. So then he looked at their diets. Now, these diets were all very different. I mean, some groups had grains and dairy products. Some groups had virtually no plant foods, and other groups had lots of plant foods. But there were some underlying characteristics, and a key characteristic was very high levels of certain vitamins that we get from animal fat. Vitamins A, D, and what he called the X factor, which we now know to be the animal form of vitamin K. And these are found in all of the foods that have been demonized. They're found in butter from grass-fed animals. They're found in egg yolks. They're found in oily fish. They're found at very high levels in shellfish. And most of all, they're found in organ meats, liver and marrow and kidneys and all of the parts of the animal that we throw away.
Yeah, all of the bad stuff.
What we're told is the bad stuff. Yeah, we're told that these...
These were the elements that were found in the diets of healthy people.
These are the absolute necessity for a healthy diet. And they're found in the foods that we're told not to eat because they're high in cholesterol and high in saturated fat. One food that we insist on is old-fashioned cod liver oil, which is the fat from the liver of the cod, and or could be any fish, halibut or shark, mm-hmm. whatever, because this is such a wonderful source of vitamins A and D.
And so what Grandma told us about take your cod liver oil when you get sick, a certain amount of truth there, right?
There's a lot of truth there. And, you know, it wasn't just Grandma. What's really interesting is how cod liver oil was promoted up to the Second World War. It was promoted by governments. It was promoted by health departments. I remember someone from West Virginia told me that as he was growing up, they learned about cod liver oil in church. The legislature talked about cod liver oil, and there was a big push to make sure that children got their cod liver oil. And because of that, we had a very healthy generation of people born before the Second World War. And that all stopped after the Second World War. The pharmaceuticals got in on the act. There was just not this emphasis on these fat-soluble vitamins. There was much more emphasis on vaccinations and antibiotics.
So I'm beginning to detect that there is a real political underpinning to the transition from traditional fats to whatever comes next here.
Yes, there absolutely is. Now, in the case of the other fats, the butter and the tallow and so forth, and lard and coconut oil, all the fats that we used to use in our food, this push came from the vegetable oil industry. And we have actually written an article on this. We named the names who did it. It was Center for Science in the Public Interest was one of the players. But it was lots of people involved, Senator McGovern, the vegetable oil industry, someone named Fred Mattson who worked behind the scene. And these people were pushing vegetable oils. And you just follow the money trail.
Because they're from the vegetable states.
Right, behind the scenes,
sure.
Working behind the scenes.
Senator McGovern from South Dakota.
Corn Belt. And so either overtly or covertly, they wanted Americans to use vegetable oils, which were much more profitable for the food industry.
And how did they go about convincing us that what we have been doing forever was not the way to do it?
It started in the 1950s. It actually started with the foundation of the American Heart Association, which was actually founded to promote this idea, to promote the idea that cholesterol and saturated fat caused heart disease. And then it got a further push in the early 70s when the industry kind of got control of the FDA. And then another push from the McGovern Committee, which basically said that Americans could solve their 10 greatest health problems if they just substituted margarine and vegetable oils for saturated fats like butter. And there were many scientists who disagreed with this, and they were just completely pushed out of the picture.
And so with respect to being pushed out of the picture, what about the Weston A. Price Foundation? How do you survive telling people these things?
Well, the Weston A. Price Foundation is new. We were founded in 1999. We are a membership-based organization, and we do a lot with a little.
Who pays your way?
It's our members, their membership fees, and their donations. We don't get any money from any of the industry. We don't get government grants.
You mean the American Vegetable Oil Association is not funding you now?
They are not funding us. I can't figure out why. And we've also been accused of being in the pocket of the beef industry and the milk industry, but we are opposed to industry doing our food. Industry is important for, you know, cars and planes and computers and so forth, but industry should not be doing our food.
Okay, folks, the subject today is essential fatty acids. They are essential because our bodies cannot make them, and we must hunt them down from the environment and consume them without first destroying them, which can be a problem sometimes.
That's another subject, yes.
Yes, it is. And we have with us today somebody who can really help us guide the way. Her name is Sally Fallon, president of the Weston A. Price Foundation and co-author of Nourishing Traditions with Dr. Mary Enig. And the greats of the alternative fat movement, I guess you might call it. And our question today is, where do you get your essential fatty acids? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Please do stay tuned.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, they call them essential fatty acids because they are essential. Our bodies cannot manufacture them from raw materials, and so we must hunt them down in the environment and eat them to survive. And so today we pause to ask, where can we find our essential fatty acids? And we have the guiding light of the alternative way of looking at essential fatty acids, Sally Fallon, president of the Weston A. Price Foundation and co-author of Nourishing Traditions. Sally, what did Weston A. Price discover when the cultures he was observing who had these healthy bone structures, good teeth, and everything, what happened to them when they started eating processed foods? Go ahead.
Those whose bodies had already been formed developed horrible tooth decay, and you can imagine the suffering this caused. The industrial foods had arrived, but not the industrial dentist to help people with their teeth. But it was the next generation that gave him the most cause for concern, because after people started eating this type of diet, this modern diet, the children who were born after that did not have the beautiful facial structure. They had dental deformities, which is another way of saying crooked and crowded teeth. Their faces were more narrow, their teeth were crooked and crowded, and they were much more susceptible to diseases, modern diseases. And in fact, the crisis that we're seeing now in our children, the health crisis, was completely predicted by Dr. Price, as he saw the switch from natural foods to refined foods, and especially from animal fats to vegetable oils.
And as Dr. Price was making these discoveries, chronicling the consequences and whatnot, on one hand, the industrialization of our food chain was really leading us in the opposite direction at the same time. So didn't Dr. Price kind of become a heretic?
At the end of his life, yes. As I understand it, he was asked to endorse a bread, and I don't know if it was Wonder Bread or it was one of those types of breads, because they were adding vitamins to the bread, and he refused to do this. And after that, he became persona non grata. Also, he was head of research for the National Dental Association, and that organization refused to endorse fluoride or amalgam fillings. And so the American Dental Association was formed to promote fluoride and amalgam fillings, and that eclipsed the National Dental Association. So he died really a broken man, in obscurity. It's just such a sad tale. Fortunately, his book lives on. The Price Potter Nutrition Foundation in California publishes his book. It has the mandate to always keep it in print. And then we were set up to be a more of a public presence for his work, to be the activists, and to make sure that this name becomes a household word.
So folks should be forewarned that we're talking with people here who probably don't go out to lunch with the American Medical Association, I guess. Well, now that McDonald's is getting out of the trans fats for a proprietary blend of vegetable oils brewed up by the Monsanto Corporation, we don't have to worry about the French fries anymore, right?
Actually, the trans fats, they use the partially hydrogenated vegetable oils with the trans fats because of the health problems and the concerns with the vegetable oils. When you fry in a liquid vegetable oil, which is what they're going back to, you create really dangerous breakdown products called free radicals. And these cause cancer. They initiate the buildup of plaque in the arteries. They are just truly bad news. Now, the trans fats are bad news also, but you rightly said about this program, we're going from the frying pan into the fire. What we need to go back to for these fried foods is the healthy, stable, saturated fats that they used to use. Now, McDonald's, up until about 1984, used lamb tallow.
Right.
For the fries.
Marred, right?
Yeah, very high in cholesterol and saturated fat. And those fries were delicious.
Yeah.
And they were also not bad for you. Now, I'm not a big advocate of fried foods, but I'm also a realist. And we're just not going to stop people from eating fried foods. They just taste too good. What we need to do is go back to the healthy fats for frying these foods. And the reason they switched in the early 1980s, all the fast food places, was because of a carefully orchestrated campaign by Center for Science and the Public Interest, which was being supported financially by the soy industry, to get these horrible saturated fats out of the food supply. And they succeeded. And this is one of the main contributors to this huge rise of cancer that we've had in the intervening period.
Wow.
I
remember the transition, and I remember the difference in tastes. Do you remember that?
I do, and I also remember reading about it in the Wall Street Journal. I remember the day McDonald's switched. There was a big article in the Wall Street Journal. I wish I had cut that article out because this is a lot of money was riding on this. A lot of extra profits for the fast food industry because the vegetable oils were cheaper.
Cheaper. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of some other industries benefited as well. The soap industry benefited because soap and detergents and shampoos are made out of beef tallow. And so the price went down for them, for the product that they needed. So there was just a lot of interesting things that were happening. So
why did the animal industry take this without, why weren't they jumping up and down and yelling and hooting and hollering about
this?
Well,
actually, one industry in particular did jump up and down, and that was the egg industry. And they actually tried to counter all this with an advertisement saying how healthy eggs were.
Right.
And they were sued by our government, by the FDA, for false advertising, and had to pay a whole bunch of money. And this sent a very chilling effect to these other industries.
Our government sued the egg industry?
Yes, they did, for false advertising.
Now, haven't eggs kind of been reborn as a good food again?
Well, they've had a comeback, a certain amount of comeback, but of course the emphasis is on the whites. And if you're eating a lot of egg whites, you can get into certain deficiencies, whereas the real emphasis should be on the yolks. And once again, if the animals are in confinement, those yolks are not going to be healthy, very healthy for us, whereas if the animals are on pasture, those yolks are really a fantastic health food for us.
So it seems like for the last umpteen years, we have been told that the saturated fats of animals is bad for us, that it causes clogging of the arteries,
right.
It causes heart disease, it causes our heads to fall off. It does just about everything bad. And you seem to be saying, wait a minute, that's not true.
Yeah, none of this is true. And one thing I wanted to say, when you talk about essential fatty acids, one of the roles that saturated fats play is they help us use those essential fatty acids. Without saturated fats, we can't use those essential fatty acids very well. And with a lot of saturated fats in the diet, we actually don't need a lot of essential fatty acids. But saturated fats protect us against cancer. They are the preferred food for the heart. They're necessary for lung function, kidney function, brain function. They are necessary in the cell membranes for the cells to work properly. They are. Why else does our body contain a lot of saturated fats? It's because we need those. We need those fats, and the body makes them if it can't get enough from the food.
What does the AMA say when they hear you marching down the street with this banner held high?
So far, it's been no comment. So far, these agencies have just ignored us in public, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
What they're saying behind closed doors, I can only guess that.
What do they say to Weston A. Price's photographs? I mean, the before and after photographs are amazing. What do they say to them?
Yeah, they're so convincing when you look at these, so life-changing. I think the attitude is very dismissive. Usually they say, well, his research took place 50 years ago, and it's no longer valid. And this is sort of like saying Newton discovered the laws of gravity 300 years ago, so gravity is no longer valid. I mean, science is science, and he was a superb scientist that followed his theories and used proof to, you know, to support those theories. And his findings are just as valid, even more so today. In fact, what we do at the Weston A. Price Foundation is show the modern scientific validation of what he discovered.
Okay, folks, where do you get your essential fats and your saturated fats and the fats you need to survive and prosper as a human being? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We're talking with Sally Fallon, president of the Weston A. Price Foundation and co-author of Nourishing Traditions. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Do stay tuned. Welcome back, folks. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson, your host for the hour. We're talking essential fatty acids and saturated fats and good fats and bad fats. And when it comes to fats, how we seem to be falling out of the frying pan and into the fire sometimes with our directions there. And that reference, of course, is to the fact that we are trying to eliminate fat, saturated fat or trans fats from our diet, but heading in the wrong direction anyway. Right, Sally Fallon?
That's right. And I'm interested to read statements from groups like the American Heart Association, the American Dietetic Association, saying, oh, you need to get the trans fats out of your diet. They're just as bad as the saturated fats. So there's a truth there, and then comes the lie. And the lie is, has to do with the saturated fats, because the saturated fats have the opposite effects of the trans, and they are good. Trans fats depress the immune system, for example, and saturated fats enhance the immune system. So, you know, you can make a whole list like that, where all the bad things that trans fats do and all the good things that saturated fats do.
And, of course, where can we get saturated fats?
Well, saturated fats are in fats that tend to be solid at room temperature. So butter is one, coconut oil, palm oil, meat fats, lard and tallow. There's quite a bit of saturated fat in goose fat and duck fat also. So these are the typical saturated fats.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines and talk with Rosemary, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Whoops, Rosemary fell off the line. Are you there, Rosemary? Huh.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she fell off the line.
I'm right here.
Oh, okay, good.
Yes, because I live in Santa Cruz, and I know that there's a high population of vegetarians mm-hmm. in Santa Cruz, and I can lean that way, although I do eat small portions of fish and had some turkey on Thanksgiving. But I specifically want to mention an orthopedic surgeon that was working in the hospital in San Francisco, and her name was Lorraine Day.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a high stress. She worked in a trauma center, plus she worked at an AIDS clinic up there. So she had a lot of stress in her life, and she developed breast cancer. She would not go for traditional treatment because she didn't want to do radiation and chemotherapy because it does suppress the immune system. And so she started doing a lot of investigating into alternative cancer treatments. And her tumor, she did have a needle biopsy, and it was malignant. And so she continued to research a lot of alternatives and tried some of them, but, you know, the tumor kept growing. And so she, I'm not exactly sure of which diet she took. I believe it maybe was from St. Helena Hospital and Sanitarium up in St. Helena, but I'm not positive about that. I did listen to all of her videos.
So she tried a diet that was either...
So she had a natural grain, a lot of whole grains, fresh fruits and vegetables, and a lot of juicing of green leafy vegetables and yellow vegetables. She ate, the only oil she ate was olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
And over a progression of months, she got a lot of rest, a lot of sunshine. She quit her job. And I'm not exactly sure. I know 18 months in, the tumor had grown to the size of a grapefruit. And her husband, one night, she was so ill, her husband wanted to take her to the emergency room, and she said no, because I'll die there. And so she figured if she's going to die, she's going to die anyway. So she continued with her diet, and over a period of time, she eliminated the cancer in her system just by this diet that she was on. And she has a website, LorraineDay.com, and I just think anyone in Santa Cruz that maybe doesn't go along with this particular idea, or, you know, like she said, there are a lot of scientific studies, and and any study is considered truth until it's disproved. So that's all.
Well,
I wanted to say.
Well, we've got a lot of things going on here. There are a lot of factors there, including that she quit her job and she got off of the bad fats and the bad foods.
But she had no meat fat.
Yeah, and this is what you, what often happens to the cancer patients who do this, go this route. They do get better, but then they get into a problem of, you know, protein deficiency, fat deficiency. And the thing that people don't realize is that these saturated fats are so protective against cancer and keep you from getting cancer. And I'm just working on writing up a study right now where they put tumors in mice and they gave them beef tallow. And the ones who had the beef tallow compared to the other fat blends, including the corn oil, had much greater regression of the tumors.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, it could be perhaps that the blood supply does not circulate through the beef tallow. Is that correct?
No. The beef tallow is broken down in the intestinal tract, and the fatty acids are absorbed.
No, I'm talking about the animal that the beef tallow is taken from.
Well, they didn't distinguish in this study, and I'm sure it was just commercial beef tallow, but it did, in spite of that, it did regress these tumors.
Mm. Let me ask you this, Sally. Is it possible for vegans or vegetarians to get a sufficient amount of essential fatty acids?
Oh, yeah, they'll get plenty of essential fatty acids.
What about saturated fats?
But that's where the problems come in. What they will be missing are the vitamins in the animal fats, and these are so important, vitamin A and vitamin D. And contrary to what you may read, there's no vitamin A in green leafy vegetables. It's very difficult to get adequate vitamin D from sunlight. None of the groups that Dr. Price studied were vegans. There were groups that had 80% of their food is animal foods, and there were groups that had 10% of their food is animal foods, but all of them had some animal foods.
So, they had access to that saturated fat. Rosemary?
Yes. All I would say is that anyone that prefers a vegetarian diet should probably check out other sources also. That's all.
Yes.
That's all I wanted to say.
One
I think a wise consumer there's a lot of different opinions out there, just like there are in politics, you know, and unless you check them all out.
Well, absolutely,
really
absolutely, and that's why we're glad to hear your comments, Rosemary. I appreciate it.
Thank you. One saturated fat that's particularly important for cancer patients, and even vegans can eat this fat, is coconut oil. And the types of saturated fats in coconut oil are what the body uses for intercellular communication. And we recommend...
Oh, what do you mean by that?
In other words, it helps the cells to communicate with each other, and this is what breaks down in cancer. The cells don't communicate anymore. And the saturated fats in coconut oil also strengthen the immune system. They get rid of candida and pathogens in the gut. And so we really are recommending coconut oil for all cancer patients. A very important part of the protocol that we recommend. This protocol includes cod liver oil. It includes some meat. It includes a variety of whole foods. But it definitely includes coconut oil.
So even vegans can have access to saturated fats by eating, by consuming the coconut oil.
Right. Now, this is not going to be adequate for them. There's no vitamin A, there's no vitamin D, no vitamin K in coconut oil.
Okay, and we're going to take a quick break. Michael Olson, this is The Food Chain. We're talking with Sally Fallon about fats, essential fatty acids and saturated fats and all the good fats and all the bad fats. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back.
Hi, folks. How many of you out there love to garden? Wouldn't it be nice to grow some of your own food? Or maybe a flower garden would brighten your day. Well, now you can have the pleasures of gardening without all that effort. You don't need a tractor. You don't need a rototiller. All you need is the Knox Garden Box, a heavily constructed, portable, elevated garden on legs that can virtually change the way you've gardened in the past. The Knox Garden Box can be set up anywhere. Yes, you can place it right on concrete. For those with bad backs, you've got critters and gophers, no space or maybe no dirt. With the Knox Garden Box, the therapy of garden is now the prescription for good mental health. The way to find your fabulous Knox Garden Box is by logging on to knoxgardenbox.com. That's K-N-O-X, gardenbox.com. Or by calling 831-461-9430.
Good fats, bad fats, all kinds of fats. We're talking fats today with Sally Fallon, president of the Weston A. Price Foundation, and co-author with Dr. Mary Enig of the Nourishing Traditions Cookbook. Sally Fallon, speaking of fats, how did we get so fat?
Well, this great increase in obesity has, accelerated. Let's say the increase in obesity has accelerated in the last 20 years. And it's really based because of the wrong fats, the high levels of carbohydrates. But there's another factor here, and that is MSG. And MSG is in all processed foods. MSG actually replaces the meat-like taste that you get with animal fats. And if you do a literature search and you put in MSG-induced obesity, you'll find that this is how they induce obesity in laboratory animals.
By feeding them MSG?
By feeding them MSG, because a rat or a mouse will not get fat on its own. So in order to study MSG, they feed them in order to study obesity, they feed them MSG while they're growing. And look at what we're doing. There's MSG in the baby food. There's MSG in the formula. There's MSG in loads of it in soy foods. There's MSG in all of these frozen foods, anything. A lot of vegetarian foods are loaded with MSG. So in susceptible individuals, this will cause them to get fat at a very young age and make it very difficult to lose weight.
Wow, so it's in almost everything. Now, Rosemary, in our last segment, was talking about the vegan or vegetarian way of doing things, and you mentioned that that vegans and vegetarians can get enough essential fatty acids, but they can't get the saturated fats.
They're really missing are the vitamins that come in the animal fat.
Okay, and you can't get those vitamins, for example, in coconut oil?
No, they're not in the plant oils. These are vitamins that animals make for us.
And which vitamins are they?
It's vitamin A, vitamin D, and the animal form of vitamin K. And vitamin K is necessary for that beautiful, broad facial structure that Dr. Price found.
And you can't get them from just going down and buying a multivitamin?
Well, you can get a form of them in the multivitamin. I'm not sure that that form works properly or is in the right balance.
Mm-hmm. So they're you can supplement with them, but
yeah.
You...
Yeah, and that's not natural. I mean, we're trying to get back to natural diets from real foods, grown nature's way, and that's not what these multivitamins are. They are made in factories. They are isolated isomers of these vitamins that often have the opposite effect of the real vitamin.
And how are we supposed to eat? I mean, you know, what would Dr. Price tell us?
Well, this is why we set up the Weston A. Price Foundation. We recommend that everyone have a contact with a farmer who's raising things on pasture, and that we eat eggs and meat and raw dairy foods and butter and vegetables and fruits and whole grains, fish and all types of seafood, and the healthy traditional fats. That's it in a nutshell, that we eat the foods that our grandparents ate.
A couple of weeks ago, we featured Mark McAfee from Organic Pastures Dairy, and which is one of two of the last raw dairies left in California.
Right.
And the government is pulling out all stops to put these two businesses out of business.
Right.
These are the kind of people you're talking about, yet the government is doing everything that it can to get rid of them.
Our government is so completely hostile to farmers, to real farms, real food. What they want is mega farms, corporate farms, commodity agriculture, and processed food. And if you pin them down, they'll tell you, oh, if we have small farms, we'll starve to death. Oh, there's no difference between pasture-raised meat and other types of meat. Oh, there's no difference between processed foods and real foods, because we just add the vitamins to the processed foods and they'll be fine. And they truly believe this. And it's a huge mindset to overcome. And it actually requires a certain amount of effort on the part of each individual consumer.
Uh-huh. A lot of effort, don't you think? Because if you're in a situation where the government is actively trying to get rid of these small farms, how are consumers supposed to get the food then?
Exactly. We have two strategies at the Weston A. Price Foundation. One is our system of local chapters. We have over 400 local chapters worldwide, including one in Santa Cruz. And these chapters, if you call or email the local chapter, they will provide you with a list of the farms in your area where you can get real food. So in this way, we've actually increased the number of small farms and increased the availability of these foods. The second thing that we've done is set up a legal defense fund for these small farmers. It's called the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, and consumers and farmers can both join, and this is providing legal defense for these farmers. In fact, this legal defense fund is looking into the best possible legal defense for Mark McAfee. We've had some really good victories for raw milk in other states, and basically we're there to help the farmer when the officials come knocking at their door and try to put them out of business. So that website is farmtoconsumer.org for people who'd like to look that up.
Okay, folks, this is The Food Chain. We're going to take one last break, and when we come back, we're going to ask Sally Fallon what we consumers can do to fight back. And it seems to me, Sally, like it's really in our hands as consumers.
It absolutely is, Michael. And, you know, this revolution will be one meal at a time, one home-cooked meal at a time.
All right, good. Folks, this is The Food Chain, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Please do stay tuned. Well, folks, we need them for our bodies, essential fatty acids, saturated fats, and a good balance thereof. You know, we talked a little bit about, Sally, about how we have to go out into the world and hunt down our fats, and we have to consume them without destroying them first. How do we mess them up?
Well, we mess them up by processing, and I'm glad you brought this up, because in the foods, these fats are healthy and safe, and they're protected, and they don't break down. But when you try to extract these essential fatty acids with industrial processing, that's where you start to get into trouble. You know, these processing plants look like oil refineries. They use the same equipment that they use in oil refineries. There's a tremendous amount of heat involved, pressure, chemicals, oxygen. And what ends up in that bottle of vegetable oils is just loaded with toxic free radicals. It may look clean, it may smell all right, but you've got a witch's brew in there. And then, to top it all off, people are encouraged to cook with these oils, and the additional heat causes more breakdown. So these are just a huge problem, and something we didn't even have in our diets until the early 1900s.
Is it true that, these vegetable oils can, these liquefied vegetable oils, can go rancid and we not know about it?
They already are rancid. They've been deodorized, so you don't know that they're rancid. Then they have some very strong preservatives, not antioxidants, but preservatives added, and they're just toxic.
Essentially,
yeah.
We're cooking with rancid oils that are full of preservatives. Then
exactly, and what free radicals do? These are unpaired electrons. They cause uncontrolled reactions in the body. And you can well imagine that you're getting a lot of uncontrolled reactions in the body. You're going to end up with cancer. You're going to end up with damage in the arteries. You're going to end up with autoimmune problems. In children, they result in growth problems, in learning disabilities. So there's a huge amount of evidence that these vegetable oils are bad news, and yet this is exactly what they're going back to in trying to get rid of the trans fats.
So, Sally Fallon, you've got an industry that's making billions of dollars every year on vegetable oils, and how on earth are you going to stand up to that?
Well, you can't. I mean, you're not going to change this from the top. This industry is much too powerful. But, you know, nature has a way, and I call this way the natural selection of the wise. These oils cause infertility, and trans fats cause infertility, whereas the animal fats and the saturated fats support fertility. And the people who are wise enough to change, to cook for their families, to get farm food, to eat the way our grandparents ate, these are the people who will be having healthy children, who will be having any children in the next generation. And eventually the people who are not wise enough, who are foolish enough to eat industrial foods and industrial oils, they will not be having children. And that's nature's way. That's how she gets back to homeostasis, so to speak.
Wow. Yeah. Survival of the most intelligent, then.
Yeah, natural selection of the wise is what I call it. It's not so much intelligence, it's wisdom. There are plenty of very intelligent people who just don't have the time to cook, or who don't want to believe that all of this misinformation is out there.
Sally Fallon, president of the Weston A. Price Foundation and co-author of Nourishing Traditions, thank you so much for joining us today. What's the safest thing we can do when we walk into the supermarket?
Well, shop the aisles, shop the real foods. At the Weston A. Price Foundation, we have a shopping guide that you can use in the supermarket.
Oh, quick. Well, how do we get to you?
202-363-4394.
What website?
Website, www.westonaprice.org.
Thank you, folks. Remember,
thanks
cheap,
for having me.
Yeah, cheap. Remember this, cheap food isn't. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.